said it, and it goes something like this.
Hello, world. I hope you can hear me. This is Emily.
And this is Erica.
We should say who we are. We are...
Gleecast!
Oh, jazz hands. Erica did jazz hands.
It was cute.
It was very cute. I hope you can hear me because I've been instructed to hold the microphone about 12 inches away from my mouth.
I think it's working out much better.
I'm also not allowed to aim my voice at it. It's kind of like in Clash of the Titans when, you know how Perseus is not supposed to look directly at Medusa, but he can look at her through a reflection?
Yep.
That's kind of what my voice is to a microphone, apparently.
We just don't want her leaning down towards the mic and getting closer to it and getting louder and louder and louder.
I don't speak loud. I don't know what you're talking about. It's strange to not look at something. It's very,
you can
like,
look at it, just I feel like bend over.
If I look at it, I'm going to bend over. It's like Lot's wife looking
right,
back
so
and turning into a pillar
a
of salt.
Conversation. This is fine. We're
okay.
Good like this.
I level. All right, yeah.
All right, so welcome to episode 2 of Gleecast,
woo!
Of our podcast, Gleecast.
And what are we calling this episode?
Check this out. Dudes on stilts.
Hell yes, because there were dudes and chicks on stilts,
yeah,
actually.
There were lots of people on stilts.
And they were all cheerleaders, yeah.
Cheerios,
to be politically correct. I don't know.
Sure.
It's probably is. I'm sure they have their leanings. So we are going to start today, we decided, with...
Feedback!
Woo! Feedback! We're really excited to have feedback.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
We got so excited.
More feedback than I ever expected.
Yeah, it was better than Dark M&Ms. I'm going to say.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, better than the coconut M&Ms, too, because those were a disappointment. And the feedback was not a disappointment.
No, it wasn't. It was all great.
Okay. So why don't we start with an email? This is going to prove how well Erica and I can read. The first email is from Bjorner! We should do some kind of Norwegian chant for him.
I don't know any.
You should work on that. Okay, and it is titled, Yay for Gleecast! With an exclamation point. I appreciate exclamation points.
They're great.
Just saying. And we've got, hey, Emily and Erica. He said my name first. Finally, it is here, the epicness that is the Gleecast, and I couldn't be more excited. You are actually the first straight TV show podcast I listened to. As for your question, this is Emily here. We forgot to say our question of the week, which most of this female does relate to. What was our question of the week, Erica?
It was what, just like we had the Power of Madonna episode this week, what other artists would you like to see an episode feature songs from exclusively?
Indeed. And Bjorner says, as for your question, I didn't care much for the Madonna episode, so I'm kind of skeptical to the concept of just doing one artist. I guess not liking Madonna that much doesn't help either. Ha! I don't think he laughs like that. One of the things I liked most about the first season was the mix of genres and artists. I hope they return more to this format. But anyways, that wasn't your question now, was it? It was not. I would love a Neil Diamond episode! His catalog has the range and style, in my opinion. He always had great lyrics also, and the costumes and wigs alone would be awesome. Great idea, and hopefully it will prosper. From your Norwegian beef, Bjorner. And P.S., Sue Sylvester for president.
I support that cause.
I do as well. I am going to confess, as we know, I don't know much about the music that the kids today are listening to. But I know Neil Diamond sings some good stuff, but aside from Sweet Caroline, which they did sing, Erica.
Puck sang.
And Puck did sing it. Erica, do you know, what is your Neil Diamond catalog? Anything? I'm sure he sings great things. I know he's, I know my mom's a big fan of Neil Diamond.
I feel like, Cracklin' Rosie, Solitary Man. I feel like there's a lot of songs that, like, when you hear them, you know them,
right.
But you don't know them by name.
And there's songs that are much better than Sweet Caroline, which is
right.
One of the most played-out songs probably now in the modern musical canon of the world. And when you know, Glee covered it, because they do a lot of popular songs, which we'll get to.
Yeah, but it was also Puck celebrating his Jewish heritage. It was great.
That's true. And it was a sweet, yeah. But thank you, Bjorner, very much. So we both agree, mostly because, hey, we need to learn more Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the essential Neil Diamond right now. It appears to be what I believe to be a bunch of covers. Maybe that's just disc one, though. Let's see. We have Hello Again, Love on the Rocks, Captain Sunshine, He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother.
Oh, I think that's a good one. That's a really good song, but I forget how it goes.
You Don't Bring Me Flowers. Forever in Blue Jeans, September Morn.
I feel like there's definitely a lot of good lyrics. I believe him.
Yeah.
Okay. So our next email.
Actually, we have a comment from your blog.
Oh, we do. That's right. People, it was kind of like a scavenger hunt for feedback.
Yeah, we found feedback all over the place.
That's right. There were emails, tweets, and comments on my blog, DiddlyDollsHouse.com.
So this one comes from Emily's blog. It's from Wendy, also known as MissWendwiki.com. I mean, Miss Wendwiki, and her blog would be MissWendwiki.blogspot.com.
WENDIKI.blogspot.com. And the blog is interesting for, it is actually all about crocheting and knitting, which I know absolutely nothing about, but I'm sure there are many people who do, and I'm sure Miss Wendwiki is one of them.
Yes. So her comments were, great podcast. I love me some Glee. I've been thinking a lot about what artists I'd like to see featured for a whole episode. The most obvious is the Beatles, but I think that's a bit cliche. My initial thought was a no to a Michael Jackson episode because I think it would be kind of cheesy, like cashing in on the drama of his death. But one thought made me reconsider. Imagine our sweet Kurt singing I'll Be There to that big dumb lug Finn.
That's sweet. And just as Erica said that, my big dumb lug of a gigantic cat jumped on my lap. So if you hear a giant thud, that was him. She had a follow-up comment as well.
Oh, and she also said, more proof Jesse St. James is gay is his quote, tell me when you're ready, Rachel, and I'll make sure you're fastidiously groomed.
No, I'll make sure to be
I'm sorry, groomed. I can't read, obviously.
That's okay. We don't know how he feels about Rachel's grooming.
True.
But he finds it very important that he is groomed well. But that's a good point.
We can
point.
Only hope all men find it necessary to be groomed well.
We'll get into the episode, obviously, but Jesse was definitely, like, shooting out alternate, gay vibes and male slut vibes. It went both ways. But we'll get to that.
Slow down.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't help it. I had two cups of coffee.
This is me keeping you in check.
Okay. All right. We had one more, and then we had a tweet.
We had a tweet from Amy at Night of Living Podcast, and her tweet was, Glee should do an all Tears for Fears or Rexette hour. It would probably only make me happy, but still.
Tears for Fears would make me happy.
It would be fun.
Yeah, I think so.
I'd appreciate it.
I don't know who Rexette is.
I don't either.
We're not cool. Night of Living Podcast, however, is awesomely cool.
So listen to them.
Yeah, you like horror movies and a lot of dirty-mouthed, funny people talking about them, then check it out. All right. I guess we should
do another email.
Yes, I do. I have, I'm going to go with these two, this double email I have here from our dear friend Lisa. And now Lisa, I guess I'll start with the chronologically first one she sent. Future artists on Glee. Ahem. MJ, Michael Jackson to this, you don't know, is probably the easiest artist to have a feature episode. So many great hits to choose from. Thriller, Billie Jean, Man in the Mirror, all tailor-made to be given a Glee-tastic show choir treatment. For a bit more of a nerdier challenge, Billy Joel's oeuvre offers some great gems to advance the storyline. Parentheses, She's Got Away, Big Shot, You May Be Right, Pressure, the list goes on and on. And in keeping with the pop theme, why not a whole Britney night? The girls serenading Puck with Womanizer, Rachel still wavering on this whole virginity issue with I'm Not a Girl, Not Yet a Woman. I love that song. It's ridiculously fun. Mercedes continuing to be hung up on Kurt with You Drive Me Crazy. Mr. Shu whoring it up again with Idina Menzel with Oops, I Did It Again. Epicness. I think those emails are actually the same. They are, yeah. With Billy Joel, Erica and I, for those who don't know, were both born, actually Erica was not born, but raised in Long Island.
Yeah.
As native Long Islanders, we always appreciate Billy Joel. If you don't know, one of the sort of coming of ages in Long Island is just that, you know, you have some kind of connection. Everybody at Long Island has, there's a couple of celebrities that everybody in Long Island has some kind of connection to.
Dee
Snider's one. My mother used to work in a preschool, and one of the kids' his uncles was Dee Snider. Billy Joel.
I've seen two movies with Dee Snider.
With, like, meaning she was in the audience, not Strangeland and Strangeland 2.
You can drop the accent now.
Okay, it's really not good. Like, I don't have a Long Island accent anymore, and I try to bring it back, and it just ends up sounding like I'm a mentally challenged Jewish
woman. So do you not have Lisa's second email? Because I have it in front of me.
Okay, then you read it, because I have the same one.
How did you print the same one twice?
Maybe she edited it?
Oh. Okay, so it was a whole separate... It's not necessary. Okay, so Lisa also said, just finished your fantabulous debut episode and have random thoughts on the show to share since I was not in the room with you during taping. I kept interjecting things to my computer, but sadly it didn't respond. So, random niblets from Lisa. Love the random outburst of Josh Groban love. He tweeted from the set a couple of weeks ago, so he'll be on again this season. So let the rejoicing commence. Oh, and I also wanted to comment on Lisa's Britney Spears comment, is that right after the Madonna episode aired, her manager apparently took to Twitter and tried to get, like, hoopla started for a Britney episode, like, tried to get the fans to sort of ask for it so that the, you know, they'd make it. I don't want to see a whole Britney episode.
My problem with that is that I feel like, on one hand, I feel like Glee could do it really interestingly and ironically. The problem is, I think as soon as those people that are on the fence or the people who are kind of like, oh, Glee just does these popular songs,
yeah,
and they'll watch it,
lose them,
you're just going to turn them off instantly, and you're going to just alienate that audience, that potential audience that, you know, sees like, oh, this could work, or is this just a dumb teeny bopper show?
And I also feel like, all right, I love Britney Spears as much as the next person, you know, shaved
well,
head.
Not me, you love her more
crazy
than
crazy and all. She's totally a guilty pleasure, but where does she get off thinking, like, she deserves a whole episode of Glee? Or her manager? Maybe it's not her, it's her manager.
I don't think Britney Spears thinks anymore. I think that's been, like,
she is not on the same, as much as she wants to be, she's not on the same level as Madonna, so.
Right, like, you take somebody like one of Paul from Chinstroker vs. Punter, who tweeted at me that he considers Glee High School Musical the puberty years. So, you know, somebody like that, as soon as they hear it's going to be a Britney Spears show, that's one less viewer.
Okay, so Lisa also says, who remembers their junior prom song? Who doesn't remember their junior prom song?
Me.
Mine was Wonderful Tonight by Eric Clapton, much to my chagrin.
Isn't that everybody's?
As I had voted for Always by Bon Jovi. It was actually, this is Erica. It was actually my senior prom song. I don't know my junior prom song.
All
Wonderful
I know,
Tonight was
I can tell you, I know my senior prom song was, I just find it really funny. It was the song from the movie Tarzan. It was the Phil Collins song, You'll Be in My Heart.
I'm sorry.
Okay, it's your prom night. You're going to go home with your prom date, and it's going to be really awkward in a limo, and You'll Be in My Heart from Tarzan by Disney. My junior prom song was something by either, like, Maya or Brandy or one of those one-named R&B singers who are, you know, like, working somewhere, like, choreographing cheerleading routines in high school somewhere. I don't know what they do.
Okay, I'm going to get through the rest of the email.
Okay.
I know what Chris from Outside the Cinema feels like now. You're like sound clips. I'm like, we have to read the email.
Okay.
Slow down. Okay, so then she also says... Whedon-y moments, as in Joss Whedon, since this is the only way I view the world, was Emily pointing out the show is moments of joy followed by darker moments. Very, very Whedon-esque.
That's very lovely.
Yeah. We'll see what he does with his episode. In parentheses, it says, I'm guessing killing off Emma. Also, my dislike of Finn stems from another milk-toasty television Finn, one Mr. Finn Riley, whose blandness bored me for 2 seasons of Buffy.
Oh, yeah.
Hate him.
I could go on an epic rant about Mark Lucas. Mark Lucas, who is the... I think I've talked about this. I'm sorry to interrupt Lisa's email. I kind of have to.
Mark Lucas, who does not have a place in the geek.
But let me just say this, because, okay, I write a blog about horror movies, and one day I had, like, linked something about the movie They, which is a terrible, terrible Wes Craven-produced movie from, like, 2001, and because I didn't know what to say about it, I just, like, had linked with a bunch of pictures of Mark Lucas looking really stupid. Like, there's one of him in a leotard and, looking towards the sun. And there's another one of him dressed up like a 1920s doctor, and he just looks like an idiot because he's butter that's not tasty. And I can tell you from Google AdWords that page remains my most visited page on my blog because apparently the world loves Mark Lucas. Sorry.
That's okay. Okay, so Lisa also says, why does Mr. Shu not like Rachel? Not sure, but from my personal experience, show choir directors never seem to shower their alpha female with the love and attention they deserve. Very true to life. And therapy session for Lisa. A-plus shout out to my favorite moment from Attack of the Clones, which we quoted last episode. Lady Gaga music is confirmed for upcoming episodes. Then she defends Renee Zellweger's singing abilities. She said she sounded good at Empire Records and Down With Love, so there.
Oh, that's true.
Lisa's a big Renee Zellweger fan. Then she had some thoughts on duets for Rachel and Mercedes. I thought long and hard about this and came up with nothing except them doing some sort of mashup or medley. It would be fun to hear them belt out something like, What is this feeling from Wicked or Take Me or Leave Me from Rent? But there's no real context in which they could do either. The only pop duet I could come up with is Brandy and Monica's The Boy Is Mine, which doesn't really work. And then she also says Mr. Shoe's hair, definitely terrible. And yes. Can't wait to hear your thoughts on the awesomeness that was the Power of Madonna.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa.
Yes, thank you.
That's wonderful. I will try to keep it moving with an email from Ashley. Ashley has a very good blog that's very interesting with a lot of writing about kind of feminism and so you've got like gender and issues. It's Friday, by the way. But some very interesting stuff on Ashley's blog. Oh, crap. I moved the microphone closer. I apologize. Ashley says, hello, ladies. Ashley again, emphasizing the desire for an MJ-style feast on a future episode of Glee. All the fixins like Billie Jean, Off the Wall, and Black or White. Insert guitar riff here. Loved the Madonna one. The highlight, Mercedes and Kurt turned that gym out. Loving the show. Keep it up. Ashley from buriedinabookcrypt.blogspot.com.
Thank you, Ashley.
She also hated The Blind Side, so I love her forever.
Okay. I have an email here from Chris. He puts in his own plug at the end, so I'm not going to plug him right now.
Fine.
He says, Eric and Emily, did I mix up your names this time? You'll never know. Which I think you did, because I'm pretty sure we always say Emily and Erica.
No, see, when I write it, I say Erica and Emily.
But
when you write it, you say Emily.
But when I feel like when other people say it, they put you first. Because you came first. You were there first.
Yeah. Right. Alphabetically, I'm first.
One band I would like to see featured on Glee would be the Ramones. Songs that could be used include Merry Christmas, I Don't Want to Fight Tonight. This would be a holiday episode. Do You Remember Rock and Roll Radio? Just a Good Time in the Rehearsal Space song. Don't Bust My Chops between Puck and Quinn. I Don't Want to Walk Around with You, Finn and Rachel. I'd Want to Be Your Boyfriend, Kurt and Finn, which would be adorable.
Oh, that'd be really cute.
Another band that could be interesting would be Social Distortion. Songs that I would like to see used would be Making Believe, could be Rachel singing about Finn after she gets used and dumped by that vocal adrenaline douche. Reach for the Sky, Artie would do well with this one. Ball and Chain, again, Puck and Quinn. Story of My Life, Finn in a solo. And Bad Luck, pretty much everybody can sing this after Sue screws them all again. Nice job on the first show. Can't wait to hear the next one. Hope you have plan on having a bunch of guests. Also, please check out Are You Serious and that other show I'm on. Shameless plug inserted and done with. That's what she said. Later, Chris.
Yes, Are You Serious? You can look for it in iTunes. Yep. Some interesting skewering of pop culture going on.
And
there.
Obviously also outside the cinema.
What's that place?
Inside the movie theater.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We kid because we love.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Ramones would be interesting. I'm sure there's going to be some Ramones.
They have to do some. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
It's I'm nuts. Waving my hand around like
she's
you guys
waving
can
her
see
hand.
Me.
Yeah. But it's not a jazz hand, though. So.
It wasn't a jazz hand. It was a... You know, it's important. It's an important hand.
All right, we got one more email. Do we? I have one more.
I have no more emails.
This is titled The Long Ass Email. And this is from Christian, Loki315 on Twitter. And Christian, it's a long email, but it brings up a lot of interesting points that we would like to talk about. So here it goes. Hello, ladies of Gleecast. This is Christian, a.k.a. Loki, L-O-K-I-315 on Twitter. I'll admit now that I am not a fan of Glee. I watch some bits and pieces of episodes whenever I walked into a room when someone was watching it. Reasons for me not liking the show. Number one, I don't like the music. I don't care about many musicals. I liked Phantom of the Opera, something I've heard a million times as a kid and had it ingrained into my brain. The Evil Dead musical, Spamalot, The Producers, and Urinetown. Yes, that's a real musical, and this is Emily right now. Yes, it is fantastic. Back to Christian. I also tend not to like super popular songs. I'll admit that part of it is due to my inner angsty teenager that still wants to hate everything popular. So when I look at the list of songs performed on Glee, I don't see much of anything I would like. Number two, I don't like the characters. From the bits and pieces I've seen, all the characters seem very shallow people who I wouldn't want to spend a single minute with in real life. The wife is a manipulative bitch. I would add, stupid cunt. The cheerleader coach is a horribly ignorant and mean person. The OCD woman teacher using that sad, fat slob of a man and stringing him along. The students are also despicable with their treatment of others. From what I can gather, as the three main characters are football guy, uppity glee girl, and glee teacher, I don't see much to like about them either. The girl is self-centered and controlling, and both the football guy and the teacher seem like simple-minded guys just going through life being led around on a short leash. But after listening to you and a few others I know rave about the show, I may just give it another shot. But no promises of me changing my mind. So on Twitter, you asked, what artist do you want to see them perform for a whole episode? And my response is Cannibal Corpse. I mean, I would love to see them sing about getting so pissed off at the cheerleader coach or the wife and start spouting off stuff like, no, I don't know how the lyrics go. I'm just going to sing them as I imagine they go. There is something inside me. It's coming out. I feel like killing you. Let loose of the anger held back too long. And if you are going to say that the band has to be popular, look no further than to their appearance in a little movie called Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. Christian. That is from Christian.
Thank you, Christian.
I'm not angry. He was worried that we would be angry.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Apparently we're tyrants and believe everybody should like what we like.
No.
I mean, I...
Clearly, Emily likes Thanksgiving.
I do like Thanksgiving. I also like Showgirls, and you want to fight about it, we can fight about it.
I haven't seen Thanksgiving, but I was just teasing. No, of course we're not angry. Why would we be angry? Everyone's entitled to their opinion. And, the first time I read it, I was kind of like, oh, you know what, he has a point about a lot of the characters, but then I thought about it a little bit more, and I think the characters are, you know, meant to be caricatures of high school students, and you always have that dumb jock, and you always have that, like, overachiever, which would be Rachel.
We are in the second half of the first season, and we don't even have a complete cast yet. Yeah, I think, and almost any show, and I challenge you to find any television show that in its first 6 episodes, 10 episodes, gives you completely three-dimensional, multi-layered characters immediately.
Yeah.
You even something like The Wire, which I consider the greatest show that will ever be in the world, the first couple episodes, you have to establish a certain form of type. You have to say, this is the cop. He's the flawed cop. This is the head drug dealer. This is the conflicted drug dealer. And then as soon as you kind of establish those tropes, that's when you go into it.
Yeah,
and already we've seen that.
Yeah, we've definitely, I mean, case in point, we've seen that in Sue. We're starting to get, and actually this is, we have a very special surprise segment for later that we'll talk all about Sue. But just to touch on it quickly, you know, we had that, I still think Wheels is the best episode they've made thus far. And that episode touches on so many characters and so many, you know, they all grow so much in that episode. In that episode, that's the one where we learn that Sue has a handicapable sister. And, you know, we see a softer side of Sue. And it's a nice progression of her character. And you could kind of see that she has had a hard life. And that maybe that's, you know, a little bit of an explanation as to why she is the way she is. We have Kurt, too, coming out to his dad. Is that the one? No, that's an earlier one. But, oh, that's the one where he does Defying Gravity.
Yeah, this is when Kurt has to face the fact with his dad that he is out and people in the town know about it.
Yeah, and he can't be selfish and, you know, he throws the solo so for his dad, and I think that gives him some nice depth.
And even, I think it's still going along, because we'll get to this in the episode, but, I mean, Finn is definitely the flattest character, because, I don't know that I'll say he's the weakest actor. He just doesn't have the charisma as some of the others. But even in this episode, they did something really interesting with his character, which we'll get to when we get into the Glee Cap. Which, also, if you're interested for Sean, we should give a shout-out to a very neat festival. If anybody is in the upstate New York area, I forget the month, but if you like horror movies...
Christian doesn't have a blog, so this is what he's promoting.
Yes, but he has this fantastic
horror festival
with 35mm prints of great, great horror films.
Really amazing.
In upstate New York, it's for a good cause. myspace.com/Sean, spelled like Shaun of the Dead, S-H-A-W-N, Lou, L-U-U, horrorfest.com.
It's actually S-H-A-U. You said W.
Oh, damn it.
U-N.
I thought, like, that's what I
Shaun
wrote.
Like Shaun of the Dead. But yeah, so check that out if, you know, you're in the area and you want to go see some super awesome 35mm prints of totally great films.
Yep. So we should
answer the questions ourselves.
Oh, crud.
Do you want to go first or second?
I'll go first because I'm sure your answer is better. So we asked last week if Glee is to do another one of these kind of ultimate one episode, one artist, who should they cover? My initial thought also was, I'm like, oh, the Beatles, because you can get so many different things in there. But I'm like, well, like I said, everybody will say the Beatles. And as some people pointed out, yes, everybody does say the Beatles. Everybody says Michael Jackson. So I was thinking about it today, and I decided an artist. I'm kind of cheating because I'm both going with him as a solo artist and when he's with his former performing partner. The first concert I ever went to was a Bob Dylan, Paul Simon concert. Mm-hmm. At the time I was really excited for Bob Dylan, and then I found I was falling asleep because I was tired. And, I woke up when If You Be My Bodyguard started playing. Because I realized Paul Simon has a great catalog because he's got some very somber, some really interesting relationship songs and personal songs. And so you could do either Paul Simon alone or Simon and Garfunkel. But that's going to be
my
pick.
I like that answer.
Thank you.
I like it.
It worked hard.
I'm really surprised no one said mine. If you know me, you probably know what I'm going to say. Mm. My answer is Queen. I mean, they already did Somebody to Love, and I loved it. I had actually come up with some songs that they could do and who would sing them. This one's like...
Overachiever, Rachel.
This one's totally awful. Don't judge me. But I think Kurt and Mercedes should sing Fat Bottom Girls because I think that would be amazing. I think Artie should sing... This one's really bad, too.
Bicycle?
Yes!
Because he doesn't have legs. Then he can't ride a bicycle.
Exactly.
Erica hates handicapable people.
I love them. I love Artie. He's my favorite character. Or Don't Stop Me Now. I think Artie would do a great rendition of Don't Stop Me Now. I think Rachel, Finn, and Jesse as a trio should do Under Pressure.
Ooh.
I think that would be great. Or even, you know, like we
That'd
did,
really good.
Like the whole sex thing, we could do Emma and Will and Rachel and Finn doing Under Pressure. I think that would be...
Can they also do a mashup with Vanilla Ice's Ice Ice Baby?
Of course.
That would be great. They would finally...
to see Will Schuster sing Ice Ice Baby, that'd be great.
And to finally prove that they are indeed two totally different songs.
I'm glad we said the same thing.
I am too.
I think the entire cast would be great doing a mashup with Vocal Adrenaline, where the, you know, Glee cast does We Will Rock You, and Vocal Adrenaline does We Are the Champions. I think that would be fucking amazing.
I'm gonna say fuck yeah.
I think Sue Sylvester should sing Killer Queen.
Why not?
And
this thing called love.
What?
Did you say this thing called love?
No, I didn't say that. Oh. I didn't write that down for anyone. It's not one of my favorite Queen songs. Oh, and then I think Quinn and Puck could do I Want to Break Free. Mm. If something, you know, catastrophic happens on the show, they could do a mashup of Another One Bites the Dust or Show Must Go On. Like, mm-hmm. You know, because what if Emma does die?
The show must go on is that's one that I could easily see them working in.
And then, you know, a really fun, like Chris said, like a rockin' in the choir room. The whole cast could be you're my best friend.
Yeah, that'd be cute.
So that's my answer. And that is my dream episode of Glee, because those are all my favorite Queen songs.
Yeah. And they all have a different sound, too, which is great.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be the same thing over and over again.
I love Queen so much.
Yeah, as do I.
All right, so we are going to take a quick break.
To make sure that this recorded.
Yep, and then we're going to come back with our Glee cap. So we'll see you in a minute.
Okay, so episode, I'm going to call it 1.2.2.
Oh, I looked it up. It's the last episode of, you know, before American Idol was 13, so this is episode 15.
Oh, I like 1.2.2.
It's all one season, though. Okay. It's not really two
seasons. They call it, like, Vine Divine. Anyway, the power of Madonna.
Yeah, volume two of episode one.
So here's the recap. Half of it's from IMDb, and then half of it's whatever I stretched it out to be. You can figure out which is which. After an ill-fated date with one Jesse St. James, Rachel discusses her not-boyfriend problems in the chorus room, where her fellow females tell her to woman up and pretty much do what the boys want. Mr. Schuster is concerned that the girls in the Glee Club are being disrespected and bullied by the guys. Looking to Madonna and her musical message of equality as inspiration, courtesy of Sue Sylvester, who now has it playing in the hallways, Mr. Schuster challenges the entire team to choose Madonna songs as their next assignment in the hopes that the girls embrace their inner strength, independence, and confidence, and that the guys will see the error of their misogynist ways. The Glee Club takes the assignment to heart as they perform some of Madonna's greatest hits, including Express Yourself. Meanwhile, Kurt and Mercedes give Sue a vote of confidence with a makeover that is definitely in vogue. Later, or earlier, as I'm writing this synopsis now, our lead trio contemplates a sensual evening, but not with each other. Santana offers to take Finn's finiscence. After previously turning him down, Rachel considers giving in to Jesse St. James' alluring Sondheimish charms, and Emma decides to embrace her inner Madge in Will's arms. The next day, we learn that Emma couldn't go through with it, but will actively seek help. Rachel remains like a virgin, but lies to Finn and claims it was no big deal. We learn in flashback that Finn did indeed give it up to a burger-hungry Santana, but instead tells Rachel that he didn't. The big twist hits us when Jesse St. James enters the New Directions rehearsal room with news that he is now a student at McKinley High. The students are suspicious and jealous, and perhaps as a result, Mercedes and Kurt join the Cheerios, where they will be more exposed. Then everybody sings like a prayer.
With a choir.
With the gospel choir, because, I mean...
That came from nowhere. They can't afford lighting, they can't afford costumes, but they can afford to hire a gospel choir.
I mean, I think it's... It might be a Madonna contract thing, but I don't think you're allowed to sing like a prayer without a gospel choir.
Right.
I went karaokeing once, sang the song, and what do you know?
And a choir showed up?
As soon as I, like, chose the song, like, I was ready for the words to just come up, and then I turned around, and there was, like... 50 gospel singers. It was
in yellow robes.
In yellow robes, and they were totally selling it. And I mean, it was kind of great.
Sounds good.
Everybody should try it sometime. Or karaoke "Livin' La Vida Loca" because it's actually a good karaoke song.
So the power of Madonna. Personally, I mean, I loved all the songs. I clearly signed onto iTunes right away and downloaded them all.
The songs were definitely the
highlight.
Strength of this. This episode was built on those songs.
Yeah, I had serious problems with this episode. I felt like we wound up right back to the beginning where we started. Maybe Finn lost his virginity, but it was kind of like he did already anyway, because for a while he thought he got Quinn pregnant.
Aww.
And Rachel didn't lose her. She's back where she is. But, like, I felt like nothing progressed.
The Finn thing I really liked. I think, and part of it is that he's just not a big dynamic character. But I actually really liked that he was kind of given a little bit of something to do in this episode. And the moment after with Santana in the bed when he just had this blank look on it. Granted, he always kind of looks blank. He's Finn. But he had that look on his face that was very, like, oh. This was wrong. And I feel like he's now kind of determined, I want to get Rachel back. I want her to be happy. I don't trust this Jesse St. James character, but I don't know. I cared about him, and I really haven't before.
I like what he did, but I just feel like the plot didn't progress at all as a whole. Like, he could have had that same epiphany in a 30-second scene at the end of last episode. Like, it didn't need an entire episode to get Finn to this
point. I would agree. The only really plot thing we can even look at next week and say, oh, this happened, was Jesse St. James
joining
now being a New Directionite.
Yeah. Other than that, there were funny lines.
There was one other thing. And this was the thing I really liked was Kurt and Mercedes getting a little more screen time.
Yeah.
And they are now Cheerios.
I do love that they are Cheerios.
I do too. Will does not.
No, he doesn't. But, I mean, why not? Why shouldn't... He has someone on Sue's team now. Like, yeah, he should totally embrace it.
Yeah, and he has two Cheerios already on his team.
He has football players and basketball players. He was all doing multiple things in the first part of the season. He should totally be embracing it.
Yeah, when I was in high school, I was on badminton and in the band, okay?
Look at you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was cool. I think we should wait on the Sue talk. We'll get to the Sue talk. But yeah, I would say overall, the musical numbers were fantastic.
Definitely.
They were really fantastic. Yeah. They were probably the best produced, not of the whole season, but some of the best moments, I think, musically. But I agree. I think this was a fairly stagnant episode, and the biggest problem for me was there was no center to it. That was my issue. And I think if you had to assign whose episode was this, you could probably say it was Sue's.
You know what? I thought about that. Do we usually have a voiceover throughout the whole entire episode? Or is it usually just in the beginning? Because that's what I felt was missing from this episode. And it's exactly what you just said. You just hit it on the head and cleared it. Mm-hmm. Cleared it up completely for me. I felt like it was no one's episode. Like, yeah, Sue narrated a tiny bit in the beginning.
Sue and her bedazzled journal.
Yes, but from there, I didn't know who to look to. There was no one I wanted to get back to.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree. And even, I mean, I think that's perfectly summed up with Like a Virgin, which was great, I thought.
Yeah.
And I like that it was kind of this trio, something different. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't even know who I'm really supposed to be caring about the most right now.
Well, with that number, I don't think you're supposed to care about anyone. Yeah. I mean, you should be invested in all the characters and whether or not they...
And I loved at the end of that moment, the look on all three of their faces, I thought was priceless. But yeah, that was my biggest issue with this episode, was that the music was fantastic. And it was an entertaining episode. There was... When I watched it the second time and started taking notes, there were some winning lines that we'll get to,
yeah,
and some great little tiny things in the background that really sold me.
Like Becky still being on the Cheerios. That was like...
I like that.
That warmed my heart, that moment. I love that part.
Yeah. But it was... It just didn't have the heart. Something that I really should watch out for, and I don't. And this is something that... I don't read too many blogs on Glee. One of them that I used to read, but now I find is just so negative, is the AV Club's blog, which is avclub.com, I think. Mm-hmm. It's the sort of media section of The Onion.
Not The Onion, yeah.
And their recaps are always just really negative, generally. But the writer, I don't know who it is, was very good at pointing out who wrote the episode, because I don't know if it's the same, but there were three creator writers. And Ryan Murphy,
who
is the Nip Tuck guy. And then there's two others, and that... As you really pay attention, you can really, and the same could certainly be said for if you're a Buffy fan, almost always tell who wrote what Buffy episode once you
if
knew
if someone
what
dies,
season
it was Josh.
Right, if somebody dies, it was Josh. If it was about, I just called him Josh. Oh,
yeah,
no.
You did.
Oh, dear. I'm going to get stakes in my heart.
Lisa's going to kill you.
Oh, dear. If it was about Faith, it was it Drew? Like, you could just always tell.
Yes.
And I think Glee is probably like that. This episode was... I feel like there were probably a lot of hats in the ring as well, because they wanted to do it right, since they knew it's a Madonna episode, it's going to be really watched. I didn't check the ratings. I'm sure this was a huge episode for them.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
But yeah, overall, I'd agree. It's one that I will probably catch again for the music, but fell flat for me.
I feel like the storyline was sacrificed for the music.
Right. So let's talk about the music.
Okay.
So now the first song was...
Well, in theory, the first Madonna song that played in full was...
Dudes on Stilts.
Dudes on Stilts.
Which, as far as I know, that's the name of the song.
Yeah, it was Ray of Light.
Oh, that's right. This is from the Swept Away era of Madonna, which...
But it was kind of... I mean, besides, you know, Sue initially talking about Madonna, it was kind of the introduction. It was the first full song we heard, even though it was actually the Madonna track. It wasn't them singing.
Right.
It was the whole Cheerios routine...
And as a performance,
them sloppy freak show Barbies.
Right, which they kind of were. You mean, this Barbie is basically a giant thing on stilts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was kind of fitting. I mean, this is a song that did absolutely nothing to further the plot, although
oh, no, but
Bill
it,
watching it
no,
was kind
it,
of...
Yeah, it was a fun routine.
However, it was super to watch.
Yeah, it was so much fun to
watch. It was really enjoyable.
And a great little visual joke at the end of the routine was them sitting on the bench. Did you catch it?
I did not.
It was the Stilt Kids, and they were sitting on, like, this giant bench.
That's great. I did not
catch
that.
It was really funny.
Should we just move on to the next song?
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted... Okay. No, I want us to talk about Dudes on Stilts.
Dudes on Stilts. I was so excited when I saw Dudes on Stilts. And Chicks on Stilts. And,
ready?
Check this out. Dudes on Stilts.
To get that in.
Okay. That was Erica's first sound cue.
Woo!
I'm never going to touch anything when I do this because I'm going to break something. The next song was kind of the first official song.
Yes, the first one that was sung by our Glee cast.
And it was...
Express Yourself by Rachel and the Girls.
Sung by Rachel and the Girls.
Dressed like Madonna.
Dressed like Madonna.
Which was awesome.
Which was awesome. They looked really good.
They did, with, like, all the finger waves.
With the finger waves, like, Rachel looked, like, smoking in that, I thought. And, oh my God, now I know like, if I ever want to, like, make my tummy look better.
Oh yeah, just
I just need to wear some corsety lycra because... Wow, Queen is what, like 5 months pregnant now? And she has nothing.
She is like a 16-year-old girl, though. They're tiny.
But
pop
at this point,
until,
I mean, we don't know how far along. This actually, I just read this on Entertainment Weekly that supposedly they've said, because a lot of people kind of criticize, says, gee, where did Queen's baby bump go during Express Yourself? And Ryan Murphy said that they're going to downplay the pregnancy a little bit for this half, that they felt like there was too much pregnancy drama.
There was so much pregnancy drama in the first half of the season.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm really interested now that the drama is out of the way. I'm really curious to see where that goes. But, yeah, if you want to not look pregnant, just dance to Express Yourself, I would say. And that was just it was a really fun number, and it made me watch it and be like, I wish they made an aerobics video out of this, because I would totally do it. The next song?
Was the mashup.
The mashup.
Was Borderline and Open Your Heart, which Rachel and Finn sang.
It was really cute.
I love when they do mashups. I feel like Glee is strongest when they're doing either mashups or sort of new
arrangements. Those reinterpretations.
Of, like, Artie in Wheels doing Dance With Myself, which I know I've talked to death.
Right.
But it's going to slowly become our, like...
Our
Big Trouble in Little China.
Exactly. It's, or like, in real life, my Showgirls.
Yes.
You know, the thing I just always go back to.
Yeah, I enjoyed the mashup. I the words obviously applied to each character, and...
And it felt very, like, I guess it was, like, late 80s music video, where it's just, like, people singing.
Running around and chasing each other around
totally
the piano.
Totally trash in the library. They do a lot in that library. There's a lot of... You know, a lot of time spent in that library, and it's always very loud. I'm just pointing that out.
Last week, Jesse, St. James, and Rachel, that wasn't
no,
a library.
No, but they were back in the library again today at the end, you know, when Jesse, St. James pulls out the Sondheim
book.
Yeah.
But they were, like, making noises.
No, I suppose not. I suppose it was all fantasy anyway. But it was really cute, and even though we've seen the Rachel Finn duets a lot... They both just have this really sweet energy about them that I enjoy.
I feel like this is the most alive we've seen Finn.
I'd agree. Like, he was
besides
moving.
Maybe the Doors last week.
He was
but
like,
I think this was even more so.
Yeah, he was moving his entire body as opposed to just, like, the, you know,
his head.
Shoulders. Yeah. The next song, I think, a song that we've seen before, right?
Was that next?
I believe it was. Next was Vogue.
Yeah, which I don't understand why they played it last week.
I agree. It took away some of the, you know, the shock value of it all. However, I found watching it in context.
I liked it much better in context. I wish I hadn't seen it last week.
Yeah.
I think it was such, like, a huge spoiler. It was
at the same time, though, like, last week it was just funny. It was just entertaining, and, like, I didn't see it as anything about Sue. I just saw it as, oh, it's Jane Lynch doing Vogue. It's really funny. Whereas this week, because the episode gave Sue a little bit of vulnerability, if you will, that it read better when I was watching it and really thinking of, like, Sue Sylvester kind of getting into it.
Mm.
It's that idea of, like, I'm not a girly girl. I'm somebody that, like, whenever you, like, try to dress me up, it's always, like, this weird, like, awkwardness. But then you're kind of excited by it. And that's kind of what I got from Sue, that, like... You know, and I mean, of course, she comes out at the end and is kind of like, oh, I don't need beauty marks and all that fancy, swept away stuff.
And apparently it's Figgins that told her this. Like, I thought that was a little weird. It felt a little forced.
I wonder what they're trying to do there. They're doing more with Figgins.
I don't necessarily need him to do more than tell Will that the Cheerios get the money. Like, yeah. I don't need him to be a pivotal
It was rushed.
Character.
It was one of those, you know, I go back to the episode Acapellas, which I know I kept talking about last week, but an episode where they just wanted to cram a lot in an hour. They wanted to cram in the songs, but they needed to get some character stuff. And you ended up having the wrong people saying the right things to each other. And that's a problem when they just, and that's what I liked about last week was they didn't overdo the music. It was almost about like 20 minutes, 30 minutes until there was a song.
Yeah.
Whereas this week, it was as we're talking about, there were a lot of songs.
It did feel very rushed though. Like, how endearing would a moment between Sue and her sister have been where her sister told her that? Like, that, I feel like that would have furthered it so much more than just having Figgins, who's like this throwaway character that
who
we
don't
just really
needs
care
her
about.
To essentially like give in and not, you know, like, send a bunch of kids from school to New York with $35 in their pockets.
Yeah. And just a side note, that before Vogue happened, and obviously Vogue happened because I feel like we didn't really touch on it in our recap or Glee cap.
Our Glee cap.
Was that Will finally came back at her.
He totally did.
And he threw some comments of his own at her hair, and which we'll see.
And so now really talking about he actually said.
Yeah. I love that moment. I feel like it was a big moment for Will. But then I love Kurt and Mercedes being like, "We're gay and black. We make culture." I just thought that was like
that was cute,
brilliant. So it was adorable.
We'll be skipping ahead, but Kurt and Mercedes are definitely the characters that you like having them in the background because they have great voices and they're cute and they can come in with quips. But I love when the show gives them something to play as opposed to just that type.
And I feel like they're two of, like, the most genuinely nice characters. Like, they did not have to help Sue.
They didn't.
I don't
You're
think.
Right.
Like, what reason did they have to do that besides helping her? There was absolutely nothing to further their own
needs in helping
Sue Sylvester. Like, they just saw that, you know, she was upset by
They saw the look in her face because nobody's ever seen that look in Sue Sylvester's face. Yeah.
And, I love them both, and I love Kurt to death. And I feel like Artie's also very nice, too. But then we had that weird thing with Artie and Tina where
Artie's a high school boy.
He yelled at her about getting up on this. Like, what was it?
Well, I guess, like, you know, I don't know. The microphone's that loud. Wow. Sorry, I had to move the microphone.
It was creeping
the microphone
up your
is
body.
At my knees now.
And we're the same level. So.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. So...
No, don't whisper. Okay. Now you're not picking up at all.
Fine. I think they rushed it with Artie. I mean, again, it was something they did just because, it wasn't about the character. It was about having a character do something
so
that the theme of the show made sense. But he's a high school boy, and high school boys are just as moody as high school girls.
Yeah.
And I think he just had a moment of like, oh, now that we're kind of dating, I can tell you that you look, you know, goth is so last year. Take those armbands off. She's still wearing those gloveless gloves, which I never understand. Fingerless gloves, aren't they itchy?
I wear them at work when I'm typing and it's cold in there.
But
I think
keep
my hands warm.
But like the girls are wearing cheerleading skirts and they don't seem cold.
I was just telling you why I wear them. Okay, I don't know why they were wearing them. They were wearing them to be fashionable.
Once again,
Alice Kingsley wears them in Alice in Wonderland. They're just fashionable.
Well, if Alice does it, then I guess I should also party with Johnny Depp. Yes, I should.
Yes, you should.
The next song?
Like a Virgin.
Now, we knew this was coming.
Yeah, it had to be there.
It had to be there. It just had to. I liked what they did with it.
Loved it. I think this was my favorite song of the episode.
It was, you know, they used it to tell a story.
Yeah.
Which is important because I don't think they did that much in this episode.
Agreed.
And the editing was very good. I liked the constant switches. The vocalness kind of kept throwing me off because did Emma sing it at all?
Emma was just lip syncing.
Okay. It shouldn't have bothered me because I know everything's lip sync anyway. But it was so obviously Rachel belting it that it kind of hurt me. Because just give her some amp and she'll be fine.
Yeah.
Right? But just a very entertaining risque for the
I love what passes for sexy for Rachel and Emma. That it's like these, like, with the little same capelets. Thing.
It's the same, like little purple
capelets and lavender.
Well, let's first talk about the fact that I'm more disturbed by Jesse St. James, because what was their date that they went on and then came home and decided to start making out?
They went to go see the Wiggles.
They went to see the Wiggles in concert. Now, I've seen the Wiggles in concert. And they're fabulous. I'm not going to lie. Like, if somebody said, hey, I've got tickets to... Who's a popular singer-songwriter right now?
Avril Lavigne. She's not popular right now. Awful. I was thinking of someone awful.
I have tickets to...
Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga. Or I have tickets to the Wiggles. I'm not going to lie and say I would choose Lady Gaga. Because I wouldn't. I'd be like, oh, drive my car. It's exciting. But for somebody to go to a Wiggles concert and come home and be like, hey, let's dads are out, huh? Let's do something wiggly. Then I find that creepy. So now he's freaked me out a bit.
He's freaked you out?
Hey, whatever. You know, we all got our kinks. Should we move on that note? Should we move on?
Yes, what was next?
I believe it was the Cheerios.
4 minutes.
4 minutes. Is that song actually 4 minutes exactly? It should be. It's called Four Minutes.
I think it is. I can check my iPod, but I think it is.
I didn't know this song. Is this the new one she did with JT Timberlake?
Okay. Yeah, and I think Timbaland, too. I'm pretty sure.
I will double check. I was very confused. I didn't realize who Timbaland was for a long time, because I know there are shoes Timberlands, and it was Justin Timberlake. And I was very confused by the fact that there was an artist named that. But this was a Cheerios number with Kurt and Mercedes singing lead vocals for a change.
And I totally lied before about Like a Virgin. This was my favorite number. I just forgot about it for a second.
Well, you are lying. I will never believe a word that comes out of your mouth.
I love this song.
Your nose is growing as you speak.
The only person, like,
poke me in the eye.
3 or 4 summers ago who really loved this song, and to see Kurt and Mercedes sing it was just...
And they were great. They had fun. They looked adorable in little Cheerios pants.
I love it.
I like the idea of them being on the Cheerios. And again, like, I was complaining about this last week and saying, you know, if I were Mercedes, how much I would hate Rachel, because they are equal singers, I think.
And she said
different
it.
Voices.
You know, exactly. This week she had the line, you know, you guys just trot me out at the end to wail on the last note. And it's been so true.
And I fist pumped when she said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And I was really glad to hear them take the lead. And I love that... not that it's an unusual pairing, but there are two people that you wouldn't expect both vocally and character-wise to have a duet like that.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting. And I love both on Glee and in any musical when you get the mix of, like, my favorite thing is actually male duets in musicals. Mm-hmm. There's a great one in The Secret Garden where it's just two men singing a duet and you never hear that. This obviously was a woman and man, but it was two voices that you don't normally hear duetting like that. And I thought they nailed it.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. And Artie, this is the next one.
The next one is,
The boys singing.
What it feels like for a girl, which I hated. I thought we could have done without this completely.
What it feels like.
I dislike this song. It's from her, like, one of her later albums, right? I'm going to look it up.
I don't know that I'd heard that song before.
I've never heard it before.
I actually liked this one. I thought it was kind of cute.
I only liked it because we got to see Puck for a while.
I loved Puck in it because the look on his face the entire time was probably the look that you're giving me right now. It was this look of like, are you fucking kidding me? We're singing this song. I don't know what it is. I don't want to know. I don't know. However, Artie, I thought, was adorable in it. And he got to belt a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked that... two background characters, Mike Rutherford. Kind of
Matt
around.
Rutherford. Damn it. And Mike Chang.
Mike Chang was totally into it. Chang was like doing like the hand movement.
I actually didn't even see that he was there the first time I watched it. I had to look for him the second
totally
time.
There.
But I saw Matt.
He was smiling. He was having a good time.
What It Feels Like for a Girl is off of Madonna's album Music that came out in 2000.
Music? She has an album called Music?
Yeah, she has an album called Music. It had... She's wearing a cowboy hat. It was her cowboy
phase.
I'm going to
write a book called Book.
It was the one with, Music.
Was it directed by Guy Ritchie? And was it set on an island? And did she look like leather, like, and swept away?
No, I think it was around the time of when she did the American pie cover.
Why?
Because that was like her cowboy phase where she did that smile.
What is her phase now? Is it still the... Oh, I like that Kurt considered Kabbalah. He thought it was too much.
Oh, yes.
What is her phase now, though? Oh, it's divorcee and I don't know what she does now. A Glee contributor, I guess. Okay, so that was 4 minutes. And then the last song, should we move on to?
That was actually What It Feels Like for a Girl. We did 4 minutes.
Same difference. I don't... If,
I'm just trying to keep you...
They were probably both about 4 minutes.
Trying to keep you on track.
Fine. The last song...
was...
Like bring out the gospel choir for Like a Prayer. Again, inevitable, like, just because it's such a good vocal song, so you kind of assume that they're going to sing it.
But it had such great moments because Will gave Kurt and Mercedes solos.
Yeah, and they were great.
Which was awesome.
Kurt's solo especially was like...
I love it so much.
It was, like, it was gripping. Like, when he sang it, when I watched it the second time, I was like, oh.
I actually, my DVR cut off, like, the last 5 minutes because that's American terrible. Idol ran late. So I didn't actually... I heard Like a Prayer before I saw it.
Because
I downloaded the music the next day, and I was like a Prayer? I was like, I don't remember them singing that. So I listened to it then, and I wasn't listening too hard. I didn't catch, like, Mercedes
right,
being there.
Tell who was doing
but
what.
I heard Kurt, and I was like, yeah, Kurt! I was like, that's awesome. I love it.
A couple things I liked about it. I liked that Mercedes and Rachel, like, were kind of palling up in it.
Yeah.
And it was cute. It was just, you know.
It's good to see them friendly. Because they should be friends for all intents and purposes. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. I like that we learned that Jesse St. James is a very white dancer.
I wasn't paying attention.
You have to watch him because he just kind of, he dances kind of like the way I do. He's a very white boy. And I'm going to go out and call Mike Chang the Cassie in this. Have you seen A Chorus Line?
No, I haven't.
I don't know if our listeners have A Chorus Line. It's a musical about casting for A Chorus Line, not the lead. It's all about an audition, and he's just casting the background dancers. And there's Cassie, who was a former, like, superstar, and she's auditioning because she can't get a job. And he has everybody, like, dancing, and the whole thing is, like, you have to dance exactly like everybody else. You're not supposed to stand out. And Cassie just, everything she does, it's like a pump and a kick, and it's just higher than everybody else's. And she has a better chin snap. And that's how I felt about Mike Chang, that he's a star, and he's going to emerge. Just keep watch out for him. Harisham Jr. is going to be the next big thing. Calling it right now.
He'll be the next Aaron Yu.
Yes.
He'll get to die first.
He's going to get to die first in the remake of, they've already remade Friday the 13th. In the remake of
Death by the Bed
That
Eats.
That's
all the songs.
That's all the songs.
I feel like there's a couple of plot points.
There's a couple of plot points, a couple of character things.
One of my notes is I'm curious to see where it goes for Rachel, because now that Finn is trying to be Jesse's friend, in theory, like, they had that kind of moment where they shook hands, and Jesse seems okay with that. Like, I don't think Jesse knows the extent of Rachel's feelings for Finn.
Right.
So he was okay with it, and, you know, Finn's going to try and be a
bigger
person.
We also have no idea what Jesse's motivations are, so
we
can't tell.
But I also had the thought that maybe he is a good guy. Like,
maybe. He might be.
Maybe he is. Do I expect that coming from Ryan Murphy, the creator of Nip Tuck? No. But Rachel, she's had the line, I don't know how many times, nothing good ever happens to me. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing good does ever happen to Rachel. So maybe maybe this is her good thing. Maybe Jesse St. James is her good
thing.
Your
heart's going to be crushed.
I know
it is.
But I want that to be
he's going to take a razor and stab her in the eye.
I want Rachel.
And then make her eat it.
And then she'll have to go get plastic surgery in Miami from the doctors. From the doctors on
TikTok. Or is TikTok over?
I think, I don't know. It got so weird.
They'll bring it back up, that back, just for a crossover with Glee.
Yeah.
Because Rosie O'Donnell will come back and sing. She likes musicals, right? Totally.
Of course.
Yeah.
You just got Lisa all excited.
Oh.
So that was, we still don't know Jesse's motivation.
No, Will and Emma basically are in the exact same place they were last week. And they do something very irresponsible. They are sitting in her aquarium office. Oh, no, actually, it was Will's office. But the door is wide open, and he says, I'm sorry that it's okay if you didn't sleep with me. I don't think I'm supposed to say that with the door open, like, while the bell's ringing and kids are walking by.
Yeah, but they were blasting Madonna. They couldn't hear
it. I suppose.
A little, like, show note that I loved was all the kids in the hall dressed like different Madonnas.
Yeah, that was cute.
I thought that was adorable. Cute. It just made me happy. More things that I thought were adorable made me happy were the WWMD bracelets that Santana
had. Right, what would Madonna do? Now, should we talk about lines we like, or should we go into suisms and go into...
We can talk about a few lines. I mean,
okay.
I
wrote down a few lines.
Kurt is the mayor of Gaytown.
Kurt's the mayor of Gaytown, and I like that Sue Sylvester has, like, this Sawyer thing now for giving nicknames to everybody.
Yeah.
I think, what is it, Aretha and Don Knotts?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he was wearing that awesome hat and plaid jacket.
He looked like Paddington Bear in tweed. A couple of lines I liked was that Lindsay Lohan looks like something out of Lord of the Rings, which I'll agree with.
I have that written down.
Mm-hmm. Of course, we had to have a great Britney moment, which was, when I pulled my hamstring, I went to a misogynist.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I loved... Oh, Puck calls himself Puckzilla.
Puckzilla. Why not? You know. One of my favorite moments, actually, of the episode was a Jesse St. James moment, oddly enough, when after, like a virgin, and Rachel's in the bathroom, clearly she can't go through with it, and he's, like, knocking on the door, and he's, like, trying to get her to come out. He's like, just come out so we can talk, or sing about it.
Yes.
I absolutely thought that was the greatest thing ever.
It was great.
And by far, I'm sorry, the winning line of this episode, there were a lot of hair jokes.
Yeah.
His hair looked a little better, I thought.
I don't have a problem with his hair. I know everyone hates his hair. I don't have a problem with his hair.
Aside from the Depp line, which I liked, because
that was my MVP line.
Okay, mine was, when she refers to, when Sue sniffs it out, and she refers to the smell of cookies wafting from the oven of the little elves that live inside your hair.
That was also great.
That made me happy.
On that Sue note.
Yeah, let's go into some Sueisms that we learned.
Okay.
We'll just go really quickly. Some bits of information we learned about Sue is that she was raised by famous Nazi hunters.
Of course.
Who kept napalm laying around the house.
Yep.
Naturally, because if you're hunting Nazis, you need some napalm. And she's very sensitive about her floho hair. Yeah. Her floho haircut, yeah. And what is her age?
Oh, she's 29.
She's 29, which the show had mentioned early in the first part of the season, and I thought it was the best line ever when she says, "Here I am, almost 30," when she was writing her journal.
Right.
And it was a great moment, and you just kind of assumed it would be a throwaway. I can't express how happy I am that she is actually 29 years old.
Do we think she's actually 29, though?
Yes, I really do think she's 29.
I don't.
I will throw my beer in your eye.
All right, what we're going to talk about now kind of plays into the segment that we're going to play next.
Okay,
but,
fine.
Do you believe... I'm saying let's talk about it.
God, you're my guidance counselor. Do I believe that she was raised by Nazi hunters and
she bleached off all her hair because of Madonna's True Blue album?
I suppose I don't know what to believe, but I suppose, well, for now I do. I feel like it's kind of almost not Lost. Maybe I'm going to go back to Lost. A show where they throw out a lot of wacky ideas. And then by season 2 and season 3, they're going to start to realize, oh, we got to start developing this. So they're going to either, like, go into, no, Sue is 29, or it's just going to be something, a whole different storyline. But I feel like right now they are just kind of thrown out a lot. And, like, the 29 line, which came early in the season, I feel like, I don't know when that would ever have come back, but this episode they were like, you know what, yeah, Sue, you're 29 years old. So why don't we... Do we have any more to say, or should we let somebody?
Yeah, we have a very special segment to play from our good friend Mel, who also has a blog, which is questfortheclassics.blogspot.com.
Yes, and she has a fantastic, she watches a bunch of classic movies that she never had seen before, so it's a different perspective, and her discussion of Gone with the Wind is very interesting.
I didn't read it yet. I have to.
You should.
But, so, here is her segment. Produced by Bill Byforce, and it makes our podcast look like a big pile
she's got
of
like music and dog sound crap. So and also really good things to say.
Yeah,
so we're gonna play it, listen to it, and...
but don't judge us by our poor quality. So here's Mel.
I'm reasonably confident that you will be adding revenge to the long list of things you're no good at.
Mel, I want to start out by thanking Emily and Erica for letting me have this segment on the show. Anyone who knows me knows that I love Glee a ridiculous amount, and when the lovely ladies decided to do this podcast, I jumped at the chance to be involved in any small way that I could. So today, I want to talk for a few minutes about everyone's favorite menace, Sue Sylvester, who is played by the incomparable Jane Lynch. The tracksuit-wearing cheering coach is one of the many characters who are expanding on the show and letting us in to learn a little more about them. The thing that I like about what they're doing with Sue's character is that the things we're learning about her are often nuanced and not necessarily what we would expect them to be. In the first part of season one, before American Idol, or BAI, we learn that Sue has a handy, capable sister. That came out when she did Cheerios tryouts and a student with Down syndrome tried out and she made the team. So we learned that she had the sister and she felt an emotional connection, and that was really, really nice. It came way out of left field, but it was really a welcome surprise, since up to that point we hadn't really seen much from her by way of emotion.
Awesome.
In this season so far, she's showing signs here and there of having feelings. In this week's episode in particular, she showed vulnerability right off the bat, with the episode opening with her Madonna diary and an internal monologue about how much she idolizes Madge. The fact that she feels that way about Madonna in and of itself is making her vulnerable. We are up to this point otherwise led to believe that she has this amazing self-confidence and doesn't really need to look up to anyone because no one's good enough for her, and all she does is put people down because she's better than them. Sue Sylvester is a strong, determined woman. We definitely can't take that from her, but every TV character with such a prominent role has to be humanized eventually. There's really only so many students you can shove into a locker until we need to see some heartache to balance it out. It was a really nice back and forth in this episode with Sue. She started out all emotional about Madonna, but then she turned around and used those feelings to blackmail the principal and then totally crush Emma, totally crushing the cheering team and the dudes on stilts.
Check this out. Dudes on stilts.
The scene with Sue and Will, where he finally truly stands up to her by pushing back on her insults, was really, really great. To this point, he's stood up to her here and there by telling her to back off, but really nothing more than that. He's never really stooped to her level. And I think she's always kind of counted on that. He never actually took away her power in the arguments that they've had, putting aside, of course, the fact that he got her suspended at the end of the first part of this season. But this time he really got back at her, throwing a couple of hair jokes in there of his own. And her face and her reaction was really, really perfect. She completely fell apart and it was very obvious. The thing that I found interesting about it, though, was that the story that she told to Kurt and Mercedes in her office after it happened was really just very weird. You know, she told them about her sister and the fact that she's handicapped, which is true. And then this whole story about how she's loved Madonna forever, and when she was six, you know, the album came out and she was crazy about it, and then they dyed her hair with, you know, all these chemicals that they had under the sink, and her hair's been ruined ever since, and she's really just jealous of Will.
And that's my fault?
You see anyone else in here with a plate of I'm sorry cookies? I don't, just you.
And that she's really just jealous of Will because his hair is actually amazing and it's not terrible, like, you know, she's been telling him it is for years. That whole exchange really struck me as odd because I couldn't tell if it was actually true. I felt like I was supposed to believe it, but I didn't. You know, is it another just kind of crazy quirk about the show, or is she full of it and, you know, kind of manipulating the situation? I'm leaning toward the latter, and I hope that that is true. I hope that she is manipulating the situation, because if it is, it means she really did a great job of bouncing back to herself after, you know, being pushed down by him. You know, not to mention earlier in the episode, she made a comment about Madonna stealing a line about, you know, she's a strong woman, and if that makes me a bitch, then so be it. I'm paraphrasing, but she said she stole that from her in 1987, and none of that really lines up. It doesn't add up. It doesn't really need to, but it just kind of struck me as odd. The rest of the episode really continues like this. this. It's a whole back and forth. Even throughout the music video for Vogue, you know, she's full on dancing and voguing and rocking all these new styles and looking silly, but also looking amazing at the same time. But then when you're really not expecting it, you know, she like slaps the hand of the guy who's brushing her hair out of her face and getting a dig at Will in there as part of the song. You know, every time there is softness or grace, there's anger and force to balance it out. So we're seeing the softer side of Sue and we're learning more about her, and I'm really happy to see it. But at her heart, she's a bully and she's a manipulator, and I really do love her for that. That's really her character at its core. And you know, I think the show should continue riding this line, but I'm worried that they might take it a little too far, and I don't want them to. You know, her brashness is part of her charm, and I don't want her to lose that. So that's about all I have for this week. I'm looking forward to talking to you guys again soon. Take care.
So Mel, as we expected, had some great points. You know, an 8 year old in 1980, so Sue would have been 8 years old in 1987, right? No, mm-hmm. Wait, I can't do math. She would have been...
What year did Trouble come out?
Wait, no. She's 29. She was born in 81. 6 years old. I can't do math. Wow, I couldn't add 81 to 87. A 6 year old can be pretty sassy. So I think Sue could have thought of that line.
And she was six. But she was at the Palladium talking to Madonna?
Well,
with her
parents were famous,
Nazi
hunters.
I don't.
So maybe they got her tickets. I don't know. I think it's a really good point. Is maybe Sue is just a sociopathical liar? It seems odd that that's the story she would make. I don't know. But it's possible, certainly. I agree. I think there is a lot of potential to sort of playing with what's true or just how crazy a life has Sue Sylvester had in 29 years. I just really don't want to believe that Sue thinks Will has good hair.
Oh, I'm sure that's true. I'm sure she hates his hair.
I hope so, because I do.
Oh, I don't. No, I don't know. I'm sure she hates it.
I hope so.
I feel like that's part of it. I feel like that's she's part kind of why playing I feel this, like it was a
sensitive part.
Sorry, I got lost for a minute. I don't know where I went.
That's okay. Pizza's on its way, honey bunch. Pizza's tired. On its way.
It's 9 o'clock on a Friday night. I'm tired. That's why part of the reason I think most of it's made up. I don't think she likes his hair. I don't think she has very. I know she has soft spots because we've seen her with her sister. She has soft spots.
And
she's
the look in her face
person.
When Will came back at her. There was something there. There was something to it. I don't know.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be that she bleached off her hair and she can't grow it out. It could be that she's bad with a hair dryer, so she keeps her hair short. Like, it doesn't have to be such a big story. Like,
It's true.
I think she's just a
Or maybe she was just sizing him up. Like, oh, that's where he's going with this. He's coming back at me. I'm going to play the innocent Sue.
I think she's just a big personality and a big... So she has big stories.
All right. Vegas odds. I think
like,
Sue's
I think Sue Sylvester either goes 100 miles per hour or doesn't go. Like, that's
okay.
It.
Okay.
I think that's her speed.
All right. So let's just kind of clean up with a few more little things we wanted to mention.
Okay.
I cannot end this episode without two things. One is that I keep forgetting him, but I love the pianist.
Oh,
the accompanist.
He's awesome.
He's just any, like, what I really liked was... I can't remember which song it was, but one of the songs, he just looked so happy to be there playing.
Yeah,
like somebody was like,
super
"Can you play
happy.
A song?" And he was like, "Oh,
yeah, sure."
So I hope that guy gets his moment. The other thing, and this is one of the reasons why I love Glee and why I think people who, even if they don't like the music or they think it's too cute, if they watch it closely, there are so many little jokes.
Yeah,
and the little jokes for me that really stuck out this week was in Emma's office, in the guidance counselor office. She, at one point, is putting a bunch of pamphlets away, and I couldn't read all of them, but I actually kept pausing it and rewinding to try to see what I could see. The pamphlets are amazing. They
Have
make
you never seen them before? Because they've been
I
in
never
other
noticed
episodes.
Them.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I just never looked for them. A few of the ones that I was able to see was, congratulations, you're pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
It was something about proper wiping, which, I mean, every high school kid needs
yeah,
to know.
Yeah, totally.
I couldn't finish this one, but it was something about radon being the silent something something. We'll never know. lover, perhaps, or killer?
My favorite is the one you have listed.
Help! I'm in love with my stepdad.
Which is great.
It really is. There was another one that the Fox logo blocked out.
There were ones on the episode where Rachel tries to throw up in the bathroom, and Emma hands her a pamphlet about being bulimic. And there's other ones in the background if you want to go back and look for more pamphlets. I can't remember what any of them said now, but there were definitely a few about, like, throwing up or, and...
It's such a great little touch of just, you know, being that sort of much smarter and detailed, and, you know, it's not even a song, it's not even like a quirky character thing, it's just there in the background, and it's cute and funny and not sweet either. It's like there's a lot of edge to Glee.
Yeah,
a lot, and I think a lot more as they go on. So, did you have anything else about this episode, or should we just move on in? We're wrapping up, I promise.
I had a couple of low notes, which I think I already talked about how I felt like there wasn't very much plot progression.
Sure.
No Idina kind of made me sad. Like, introduced her last episode, and now she's gone.
But we can't get too crowded.
I know, but I kind of wanted her to be more of an integral part of the show and not just a guest spot. Because what else is she doing now? Come on.
Having sex with Taye Diggs. Which, I mean, come on. Would you really want to leave that...
Yeah, no, but so that made me.
And we know we're not going to see her next week, because guess who comes back next week?
Kristen Chenoweth.
Kristen Chenoweth is back, so we are predicting no Idina Menzel again.
Yeah, definitely not. Yes. My high notes for this episode were just seeing Kurt as a Cheerio, which is like a dream come true for me. I love Kurt.
Cute.
And I really like that Jesse St. James is in New Directions now. I think
again, like I said, great duets are coming.
Yeah,
great
mashups. I think it's going to make for a couple of really good episodes.
I'm glad to, Finn even admitted it, hey, somebody else can take the lead.
Yeah.
Because I'd rather hear Jesse St. James
see him.
Yeah. And I want the two of them to have a dance-off, because it'd be great. I loved when there was almost a sing-off in the parking lot. And Rachel was like...
But Finn's better than that.
Yes, he is. And we're going to, I guess, let's close with, we have, once again, a question of the week.
Yep.
We want your feedback, gleekast, with a K, at gmail.com.
So this one's kind of, not so much a question as we would like you to sort of fill in some blanks for us.
That's right.
We heard Mel talk a lot about Sue and her feelings on Sue.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to know, when do you think Sue lost her virginity?
That's right.
Who do you think took it? Where do you think it was taken?
Mm-hmm.
And what music was playing while it was taken? Or is she still a virgin? We want you to sort of...
Hey, I mean,
be creative. Creative writing assignment, kids.
That's right. That's right. Or you can sing it.
Or sing it, yeah. Send it to music.
Send it. Send us an MP3.
Send us an MP3 if you're singing.
Erica will figure out something.
Totally.
To do with it.
Again,
totally.
Gleekast@gmail.com.
Gleekast@gmail.com.
Also find us at gleekast.podomatic.com, which you don't really need to know if we're already here.
That's true.
But
I know.
Everybody's
always like, this is where
stuff.
You go. And it's like, but you're already listening.
Yeah,
to
we're
us,
already
so you
listening.
Know that. And I guess we should just say thank you to a couple people. Thank you, Mel,
thanks
obviously.
So much, Mel.
Thank you, Bill,
for producing
the
segment.
We'll thank Jamie again, because when we finished last episode, which of course was our debut episode, Erica pressed whatever it is, the space bar, and she's like, we're done. And then she goes, fuck! Because we thought we lost the entire episode. And
Audacity just crashed.
Yeah.
Just went, no response, close, crashed. And Jamie...
We were on Skype and we saw Jamie. We're like, Jamie, what do we do? And he's like, oh, nothing. It's there. Just go here.
Yeah, he had the sense to Google it that, you know, I did not have the frame of mind to Google saving project files from Audacity. So
yeah, we're
he
simple
did that
people
and helped us out. So a big thank you to
Long
him.
Island has poisonous
and
waters.
Thank you to everyone who sent us feedback.
Thank
and
you
everyone,
so much for the feedback.
Everyone who's been retweeting our tweets.
Yes,
and
we love
you're
you.
You're all awesome. We love you all. There's so many of you. It's hard to thank all of you.
I want to make a love to all of you, but, in the words of Roberto Benigni.
Yeah, we're trying to get the links section set up on Podomatic so that
yeah.
people can just go there and they'll see all the
they'll
blogs
all the
that
wonderful
we support
people that we love.
And all the podcasts we support.
Yep. If you want to follow us on Twitter, I'm at Deadly Dolls.
And I am at Erica's name. That's Erica with a C.
And on that note, that's how Sue sees it.